Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we will be studying Sefer Yehoshua Perek He. Quick recap of what we learned in Perek Dalet. We'd said that in the middle of crossing the Yarden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded Yehoshua to take one man from each of the 12 tribes and to gather 12 different stones that would be laid out in Gilgal as a monument to the incredible nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had just performed for them. These stones were there to be placed as the later generations of Klal Yisrael and all of mankind will be reminded of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great kindness. And Yehoshua fulfills HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, and he also takes another 12 men from 12 tribes, telling them to pick up another set of 12 stones, and those are placed in the middle of the Yarden as well. The Kohanim complete crossing the Yarden with Klal Yisrael, and the waters of the Yarden are going to return to their original place. And now we have Klal Yisrael, 40,000 Jewish men have come forth ready to battle against Jericho. And the Perek had ended with Klal Yisrael camping in Gilgal, ready for battle. Perek He begins. And Perek He is going to tell us that the kings of Canaan are completely petrified of everything they've heard and seen HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, and they're beside themselves with fear. Hashem is going to tell Yehoshua at that point to do a national bris milah on all the men of Klal Yisrael, and this was the first bris milah that had been done since they had left Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael are then going to be able to bring a carbon Pesach. The mon has going to stop, will have stopped falling, and now they're going to be able to eat from the grains of the land, and the Perek will end with Yehoshua having a malach appear to him. Let's take a deeper look. So Pasuk Aleph begins, Vayihi kishmoa kol malchei ha'amor yasha be'evar ha'yarden yoma v'chol malchei ha'kanan yasha al hayam. And it was when all of the kings of the Amori and the kings of the Canaanites hear Ashehu vish Hashem esmei ha'yarden ha'kadosh baruch hu dried up the sea, the Yarden, mipnei b'nei Yisrael ad Avram, for b'nei Yisrael so that they could cross over into the land, vayimas levavam, and their hearts melt, v'lo hayavam od rach mipnei b'nei Yisrael, and they have no spirit left in them in front of b'nei Yisrael. And this is really mirroring a little bit what Rachav had already told the spies, that when the people of Eretz Canaan had already heard about the other miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done, vayimas levavam, their hearts melted, and they had no spirit left. And now again, it's reiterating that once they've seen this nes performed, the cross, the splitting of the Yarden, again, the Canaanites are absolutely petrified of Bnei Israel. And this is going to be very useful, because although they are going to come and they are going to battle against Bnei Israel, really they're going to battle, but their courage has gone away from them. It's not quite going to be the same, but certainly for the next few days, they're not going to come anywhere near Bnei Israel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, at this point, Yehoshua, Pasuk base, but Esahi Omar Hashem al Yehoshua, Selecha Charuvos Surim. Go ahead, Yehoshua, and prepare for yourself sharp knives, Veshuv Mol Es Bnei Yisrael Shenis, and do a bris milah on Bnei Yisrael for a second time. So we know that the date is the 11th of Nisan, and we know in a few days from now, on the night of the 14th of Nisan, Klal Yisrael have a mitzvah of bringing a carbon Pesach. And in order to bring a carbon Pesach, you have to have a bris milah. And none of these men have a bris milah, and therefore they're going to have to do a bris milah at this point. It is also very practical. And the Malbim tells us that because all the Canaanite nations are completely terrified, they're not going to come near Bnei Israel for the next few days. And after a bris milah, Bnei Israel are going to need a few days to recover. And it makes perfect sense to do the bris milah right now. The Pesukim continue and tell us, Pasuk Gimel, Vayaslo Yehoshua Charuvos Tzurim. Yehoshua goes ahead and he prepares all these sharp knives. Vayomal es Bnei Israel al Givas Ha'aralos. And he circumcises, he does bris milah on Bnei Israel and give us ha'aralos. So even though it's in the singular, vayomal es Bnei Israel, he performs the bris milah on Bnei Israel, says Chazal, it's unlikely that he alone performed bris milah on the entire nation. Rather, he either oversaw the bris milah or he prepared the knives for the bris milah. And the Matsudas points out that Yehoshua was likely one of the only men who had a kosher bris milah, had a full bris milah. Everybody else, all the other men who'd received a bris milah, as we're going to read in the next few pesukim, had died out in the journey, the 40-year journey in the Midbar. And in order to have a bris milah, you have to have someone who's had a bris milah perform a bris milah. Also, Yehoshua was one of the people who likely oversaw the Bris Milah of Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim itself. So he is the perfect candidate to now go ahead and oversee and perform the Bris Milah on Am Yisrael. We're going to read in the next few pesukim that the reason that the Bnei Yisrael did not have a Bris Milah at this point is because although the Bnei Yisrael had had a Bris Milah in Mitzrayim just before they left, and then they'd therefore gone ahead and done the Korban Pesach, we know that that entire generation had died out in the Midbar as a result of the sin of the spies. And now here we are, and these are the children, and they do not have a Bris Milah. As Pasuk Kei tells us, Ki mulim hoyu kol ha'am hayotzim, all the people that had come out of Mitzrayim had had a Bris Milah, v'chol ha'am hayiludim ba'midbar, but all of those who were born in the Midbar, ba'derech b'tzeisam Mitzrayim, on their way out of Mitzrayim, on their journey through the Midbar, lo malu, they had not had a Bris Milah. What was the reason that Bnei Yisrael had not had a Bris Milah for the past 40 years? So the Mefarshim tell us that they were not zocha to the Ruach Tzifoni, a special wind that would have come along and healed them. And therefore, they had never done a Bris Milah, but now that they've come to Eretz Yisrael and they're about to perform the Korban Pesach, they have to do the mitzvah of Bris Milah. But more than that, we know that it is Klal Yisrael are going to get Eretz Yisrael and the Zechus of Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had also told Avraham Avinu to do a Bris Milah, and that all of his descendants who had a Bris Milah will be Zocha to Eretz Yisrael. And here we are, as we're coming in and about to conquer the land that had been promised to Avraham Avinu, all of Klal Yisrael had to be entered into Bris Avraham Avinu. They had to have a Bris Milah. Pasuk Tes tells us, Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua. Hashem says to Yoshua, this is after they've done the bris, Hayom galosi es cherpas Mitzrayim ma'alechem. Today I have rolled away the cherpa, the shame of Mitzrayim from on you. Vayikrashem hamakom hahu Gilgal ad hayom hazeh. And that is why that place was named Gilgal, and it's called Gilgal until today. So they're camped in a place called Gilgal, and it received its name because Galosi HaKadosh Baruch Hu rolled away the shame of Mitzrayim. What's the shame of Mitzrayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referring to? And actually it was a shame and an embarrassment that Bnei Yisrael had carried with them, Rashi says, quoting a Medrash, that from the time that Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, Paro had been taunting Moshe, taunting Bnei Yisrael, saying, I and my astrologers have seen in the stars. We've seen this energy called Ra. We've seen the star called Ra. It's a star with a blood sign on it. And we are certain that you Jews are never going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. Rather, you're all going to die. There's going to be bloodshed in the Midbar and you're all going to die out. And the Erev Rav had continued to taunt the Bnei Yisrael as they journeyed through Eretz Yisrael. See, we're never going to make it. There's a blood sign hanging over us. We're never going to make it into the land. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yehoshua, see, that blood sign that you'd been taunted about from Egypt and by the Erev Rav, that wasn't a negative blood sign. Rather, it was a sign of the blood of the Milah that would allow you, through doing the Milah, would allow you entry into Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Yud, Vayachanu Bnei Yisrael bal Gilgal, and the Bnei Yisrael are now going to camp in Gilgal, and as a result, having done the Bris Milah, Vayasu es haPesach ba'arba asal yom lachodesh, are now going to be able to perform the Korban Pesach on the night of the 14th, and they are camped outside Yericho. And Rav Hutna points out something very, very beautiful. He says that these two mitzvahs of Milah and Korban Pesach, and we know we say b'damayich chayi, b'damayich chayi, by these two bloods you will live. This is referring to the blood of Milah and the blood of the Korban Pesach. But Rav Hutna points out that it's these two mitzvahs asay of the Korban Pesach that although it has to be done by every individual family, it's a mitzvah that was a collective mitzvah to Am Yisrael. And Bris Milah, although it had to be done on every individual male, it was a mitzvah that made you part of a nation. And these two mitzvahs had to be done by Klal Yisrael as they came into Eretz Yisrael. It was two mitzvahs that helped show that we were part of a nation. And actually, it's these two mitzvahs that are both punishable by karis. If you don't do bris milah and if you don't do a korban pesach, you get karis for it. And karis is being cut off, really, cut off from the nation. Pasuk Yud Aleph tells us that now it's the 16th of the month and Klal Yisrael are going to be able to eat matzahs v'kolui. They're going to eat matzah and they're going to eat these parched grains. So why do we need to know that? First of all, we need to obviously know that they're eating matzah because it's Pesach. But we know we have a mitzvah not to eat chadash. We can't eat any new grain grown in the Eretz Yisrael until we've bought a Karban Omer. And a Karban Omer can only be bought on the 16th of Nisan, the day after Pesach. So for the first few days, from the 10th until now, when Bnei Yisrael had come into the land, they had still been eating their leftover man, as Pasuk Yud Beis tells us, Vayishbos haman mimacharas ba'achlam, because the man had now dried up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the man had stopped falling, really, when Moshe Rabbeinu had passed away. And that was around about 35, 36 days ago. But for those last 36 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had allowed them to have man remaining in their vessels. And that's what they had eaten. But now at this point, it's the 16th of Nisan, and they're able to bring a Karban Omer, and they're now able to start eating from the grain of Eretz Yisrael, and their man has now finished. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, we hear of an amazing event. It's now the nighttime. Bnei Yisrael are all sleeping. They're camped in Gilgal, just opposite and close to Yericho. And Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us, Vayihi b'yos Yoshua b'Yericho. And it was when Yoshua was in Yericho. He wasn't actually in Yericho, says the Mefarshim. He's just outside Yericho. Vayisa einov, and he lifts up his eyes. Vayar v'hinei ish omeid l'negdo. And he sees a man standing opposite him. V'charbo shalufa b'yado, and he has a sword drawn in his hands. And straight away Yoshua understands that this is not a regular man, that this is a malach sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayilech Yoshua elov, and Yoshua goes to Vayomer lo, halonu atayim l'tzareinu. Have you come here for our good, or are you here because as an adversary? And the malach says to him, Vayomer lo, and he says, no. Ki ani sar tzva Hashem, I have come on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've come on your behalf. Ata basi, I've come for you now. Vayipol Yoshua al panav arts, and Yeshua falls face down on the ground. Vayishtacho, and he bows down to him. So we just have to understand for a moment what's going on. Why has a malach suddenly appeared to Yehoshua? We know about malachim appearing to different people. We know Yaakov Avinu had a malach appear to him the night before he meets Esav. And we know that malach was coming to give Yaakov an amazing message. He was saying, Yaakov, just like you were able to fight against me and you were victorious, so too are you going to be able to fight against your adversaries, against Esav, and you're going to become victorious. So on the one hand, this malach appearing is a beautiful message to Yehoshua. You're going to go into battle and you are going to be victorious. On the other hand, the malach has appeared with a sword drawn in his hands. And again, the image of a sword drawn in his hand is not such a positive image. Later in Jewish history, we're going to have David HaMelech seeing an image of a malach with a sword drawn over Yerushalayim, and we know that was spelling disaster. So what is Yoshua meant to understand from a malach with a sword drawn in his hand? And the Gemara tells us that Yehoshua had done something wrong. Yehoshua, that day, because they had been busy preparing for the battles and getting everything ready, Karban Pesach, and all the things that they needed to do, there were two things that Yehoshua had not done. And actually, it was on the 16th, the two things that he had not done. He had not bought a Karban Tamid that morning, and he had also not had Bnei Yisrael that night learning Torah. And Chazal points out beautifully, the Baal HaTurim points out, that when Yehoshua had been anointed by Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parshas Pinchas, when Yehoshua had been anointed by Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe had put two hands on Yehoshua's head, and he was giving him the message. He said to him, Yehoshua, whatever you are involved with, all the battles and all the busyness that you're going to have as you conquer Eretz Yisrael, there are two mitzvahs that you cannot neglect. You cannot neglect to bring the Karban Tamid every single day, and you also cannot neglect, even for one day, learning Torah. And on this day, Yehoshua had done neither of them. So the Malach appears with a sword drawn, telling him, Yehoshua, you've done something wrong. And Yehoshua turns around to the Malach, and the Gemara says, Yehoshua says, which Avera am I was worse? Which one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu really upset with me for? And the Malach says, Atabasi, the one that you should be doing right now. Right now it's nighttime, and really you shouldn't be sleeping. Klal Yisrael shouldn't be asleep. They should be ready, preparing themselves, not by getting a great night's sleep, not by preparing themselves a delicious breakfast that they can eat to have all the energy they need for the battle, but rather they should be preparing themselves in the best ways possible, and that is spiritual preparation. They should be right now learning Torah. And the parak ends where Yehoshua turns around to the Malach. This is really the end of Pasuk Yudalid. Yehoshua turns around to the Malach and he says, Vayomalo ma adoni medaber al avdo. What does my master say to his servant? What does the Malach want from me? And the Malach says to Yehoshua, Vayomer sar tzava Hashem al Yehoshua. The Malach says to Yehoshua, Shal na'alcha me'al graglecha. Take your shoe off your foot. Ki amokom asher ata umid alav kodeshu. Because the place that you're standing right over here is a very holy place. Vayas Yehoshua kein. And Yehoshua does what he's told. The Malach says to Yehoshua, just like we have the imagery of Moshe Rabbeinu being told by the burning bush, take off your shoes. It's Admas Kodesh. This is a holy place. The Malach tells Yehoshua, take off your shoes. You're standing on Admas Kodesh. You're standing on Eretz Yisrael. You're about to go into battles. Don't forget that the battles you're going to fight are battles on the Holy Land, and they are battles where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with you performing Nisim. These are going to be me'al teva. These are going to be above teva, unnatural battles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with you. And the Malbim says that when Yehoshua saw the Malach facing him, he understands something. He understands that this Malach is not facing the enemy. This Malach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not going to be fighting the wars entirely for Bnei Yisrael, but rather the Malach is facing Bnei Yisrael as if to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be fighting with Bnei Yisrael. On the one hand, these battles are going to be miraculous battles. They're going to be unbelievable, filled with Nisim. On the other hand, these are natural and physical battles. These are battles that Klal Yisrael themselves have to fight. And the Malach is telling Yehoshua, you have to get the right balance. You have to get the balance of knowing that you're going to be, that you're fighting battles on Admas Kodesh, that these are miraculous battles. But they are also battles. They're also physical battles. And you have to prepare efficiently for these battles. And the preparation that you have to do for these battles is not just physical, but it's a spiritual preparation of learning Torah. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yeshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker, memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Alea Nashalem, Neshopt, Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avod, and Gemilas Chassad, and despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe, may their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a wonderful day.